This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:36 and you're listening to the evening edition with Lynn and Ayman. So we are going to be moving on to our next story, which is actually kind of a big twist in a story that's been simmering for a while now. Mm. So it is concerning recent news coming from India regarding our palm oil. So there have been reports that India has unofficially asked palm oil refiners and traders to stop buying the product from Malaysia following Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir's criticism of the situation in Kashmir, as well as the new Indian citizenship law.
Yeah, so if you remember, after India revoked the special autonomous status of Kashmir in August last year and sent troops into the region, Tun M told the UN General Assembly that India, I quote here, invaded and occupied Kashmir. And regarding the citizenship law, Mahathir questioned why it was necessary, considering Indians have lived together as citizens without any problems for almost 70 years.
So now a senior official in India's vegetable oil industry said that the government asked refiners at a meeting, which was attended by 24 vegetable oil industry officials, to boycott Malaysia. One government official said, "We've had various meetings within the government and industry to see how we could reduce imports from Malaysia," adding that India hasn't firmed up a plan of action and is just exploring various options.
I just find it interesting that whenever we are involved in some kind of interstate, intergovernmentary kind of arguments or kerfuffle, the first thing that foreign countries go for is our palm oil.
Yeah.
We see that with India right now. We've seen that with the EU on the environmental basis. So it does appear that palm oil is one of our vulnerable points, especially in terms of, you know, we want to become a more influential country in terms of global conversations. I think the reputation that palm oil has, the way we communicate, how we perhaps cultivate this palm oil in a supposedly environmentally friendly way will be important moving into the future, because this is the issue that people sort of target whenever we try to voice out our thoughts.
I completely agree with that. I think it's a huge point of vulnerability. I do also think that we open ourselves up for criticism when it comes to our foreign relations in terms of how we engage, especially on matters surrounding Islam in other countries, because that has also been a theme in terms of our foreign relations, right? In terms of how our Prime Minister chooses to engage and when does he choose to say certain things about how Muslims in other countries are being treated, for example. Mm-hmm. At what point does he intervene and what does he say? Because that has also recently been, I think, the source of some tension, not just with India, but with other nations as well. So this story, I think, kind of exemplifies that on two fronts. So we are going to be looking a little bit closer at the idea of palm oil and whether it is a vulnerable commodity for us. Mm-hmm. And to do that, we're going to be speaking with Kor Yew Ling, independent political economist at Sergi Anam Advisors. That's coming your way after this. But if you have any thoughts on India and their... It was initially kind of a soft ban, becoming perhaps a hard ban on our palm oil exports. Call us at 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 6:44 in the evening with Lynn and Ayman, and we are talking about reports that India has unofficially asked palm oil refiners and traders to stop buying palm oil from Malaysia. This is, of course, following various statements from our Prime Minister Tun M. So on the line with us now to explore this is Kor Yew Ling, independent political economist at Sergi Anam Advisors. Yew Ling, thank you for joining us. So to begin with, to what extent does India rely on palm oil from Malaysia? And conversely, how big a part is India in Malaysia's palm oil export?
Well, if we look at the last 5 years' relationship, just before 2019, really, India is really the biggest palm oil market there is. And it's basically 60% is supplied by Indonesia. So Malaysia actually has a minority share for India palm oil. But for Malaysia, it's still the biggest market. So it's pretty substantial. If you look at 2018, it's like 6 million tons of palm oil, $5.5 billion US dollars. But of course, things changed in 2019. And I think this is where some of the India issues are arising.
So We don't have much details yet about India's plans, but what immediate and long-term impact is there on our palm oil producers if India does reduce imports from Malaysia? And I'm wondering also, what impact is there on our economy by extension?
Well, in terms of the news, it's a little bit scanty at this point, but I think it's following on something that has been brewing for the last few months anyway, since sort of September of last year, when we basically had in October the main refiners association, Southern Extractors Association of India, issuing a statement for solidarity for India buyers to refrain, in fact, boycott Malaysian palm oil. So that thing sort of went quiet after that. I think there was quite a lot of relief for palm oil producers, and especially in Malaysia. You know, in the interim, you know, we had palm oil price really shooting up. So everyone was sort of shrugging that off quite nicely. And suddenly we have this news that came out saying that the Indian buyers have been exploring how they could reduce reliance on Malaysian palm oil. I think if we look at 2019, it's quite a startling change in the picture of the market of what it was in the previous years, because we had Malaysia actually losing market share in India, actually literally losing volume. If you look at 2014 to 18, lost a million tons in volume. So it sort of went, from about 3 to 2 million. But really in 2019, the picture really changed dramatically. I mean, I was just adding up some figures and it looks as though it's 5 million tons up. And the refiners are not so happy, because when Malaysia had sent in a lot of refined palm oil products, that basically jeopardizes their margins on their business. And also, there are questions about the interests of farmers in India, although they're having a problem producing enough for India demand.
So we've talked about this quite a bit, but what do you think finally brought us to this exact point with India?
Yeah, I think it's several years in the making. And I think it's also, we can see the big economies like China, indeed India, behaving like big economies do. They're orienting more towards domestic concerns. So in that sense, you're seeing China, doubling or more their farm incomes. I think basically the same goal is happening in India. And I think really things started several years ago. I was studying the evolution of Indian tariffs. And really, if we look back a bit further, 2016, Indian tariff situation, which is how they calibrate their imports, was really pro-palm oil as opposed to the other soft oils. And I think the startling wake-up call really came in March 2018, when they suddenly ramped up their import duties against palm oil. It used to be, 5% plus favoring palm oil. And then, then it started changing. And then they suddenly started to penalize palm oil relative to the other oils to the tune of 15 to 20% against palm oil. And this has then obviously been eased over the years since 2018, or rather just these couple of months. And then basically Malaysia signed a trade deal with India, which gave it a preferential price relative to Indonesia. So suddenly Malaysia refined product really flooded in. And I think this is a massive reaction by India, or at least they're trying to figure out how they can manage this situation. I mean, we have tariffs basically going up on imported vegetable oils from what was in the teens to over 40%. So India has really reacted extremely, strongly in recent years by pushing up tariffs heavily against vegetable oils, starting to act against palm oil relative to other soft oils. And of course, now we have this non-tariff trade tussle happening. And in terms of non-economics, we had the politicization really of palm oil in India, because we had comments about Kashmir emanating from Malaysia, really geopolitical, even political issues in India, and this resulted in social media campaign, even hashtags boycott Malaysia. So those things started arising in September.
and Indian in October, things died off. So I think people were breathing a sign of relief. But really, you know, the words still keep going on bilateral issues, on political sensitivities in India. So it's really a mix of economic, farmer interests, agribusiness interests in India, political. And I mean, really, I think the overarching thing is that we are in a world of a trade war. It's not just US-China. I think there are really ripple effects. And I see this as one of it, where people are taking a page out of that and tackling on trade a lot more than they used to.
Right. And as you mentioned, this issue gained so much traction among social media users in India. So how do you think it became such a national issue?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of countries, the politics has become a bit more domestic oriented. You know, I suppose issues of you know, ethnicity, race, religion. I mean, it's not just India, it's not just Malaysia, it's all over the place. So we're in that kind of era. And when I look at the social media data on this, it's quite interesting. I mean, I've relied rather more on Twitter data as well as web pages and blogs and things. But, you know, we saw spikes of mentions on Malaysia palm oil coming in. And this was quite significant, because in social media, you really don't expect to see, you know, products like palm oil mentioned, because it's in the technical sphere. It's things that people don't think about, don't talk about. But really, astonishingly, it really boomed. It peaked after, you know, Malaysia's comments about Kashmir came in. Basically, we were in a lull in social media. You probably expect things like, oh, people are checking on palm oil price. I mean, how many people do that, right? But then when we look at the social media data, the words palm oil became associated with hash boycott Malaysia. So there was a spike up from late September. There was quite a sharp spike up in mentions in social media. And then this was associated with palm oil health. And then it sort of had a double peak, a higher spike up of where palm oil was associated with Kashmir. Palm oil was associated with Mahathir, who's the prime minister here. And palm oil was also associated with, again, with the word boycott. And then really things sort of quietened down. But even then, even though it was a lot quieter, the stats show that there was 80% higher activity than in the earlier part of 2019, before the real social media awakening happened on Malaysia palm oil.
So for a while there, Malaysia was exploring buying, say, more buffalo meat, more sugar from India to improve our trade relations. Did it work in any way?
Well, you know, that was kind of mentioned. You know, people were talking about that. And, you know, I think it was in the news as well. I really don't know how far that was explored, because I think if it was the bilateral trade deficit, I mean, India has a trade deficit with Malaysia. It's been improving, thank goodness. But, you know, it's been going from US $6 billion to about, you know, $4 billion. So it's on an improving trend. Basically, India buys things from Malaysia like mineral fuel oils, vegetable oils, that's the second item, electrical machinery. So, you know, if we see that's what's happening there. And that's the buffalo meat, which I guess we often think is beef. And then for export-wise, India sends mineral fuel oils as well, aluminium, some chemicals, meat and machinery. So those are the traded items. But it does appear that the major India concerns may not be so much on the deficit question.
So will these other trade items might be affected in this sort of scuffle between India and Malaysia?
Well, you know, it's a funny thing when you know, policymakers, social media or agribusiness interests start picking on how they can leverage, you know, against a trade partner or with a trade partner. I mean, from US, China, you saw how things started to ripple out. So I guess I'm not surprised that, you know, you're concerned about that issue. So far, it's been pretty contained. I guess one of the, I suppose the ironies is that, you know, Malaysia palm oil and indeed Indonesia palm oil and other palm oil has been pretty much concerned with the EU issues, right? European Union, they've been worried about a so-called boycott, although the EU is trying to push for what they want as a low risk palm oil in terms of deforestation. So palm oil has been very much talking about, you know, does EU matter that much? Because, you know, we have China and India, and indeed those markets have been very good in 2019. But, you know, on the converse, you know, these markets, as it were, taken for granted. And I think this is one of the situations where things can really sort of, you know, bounce along and ricochet.
So where do you see India and Malaysia heading with this? I mean, in terms of what alternatives India might have beyond Malaysian palm oil? And on the other hand, you know, who else is going to buy our palm oil?
Well, frankly, I'm a little bit positive on things to the degree that, you know, palm oil price has been, you know, rocketing up. I think that's a good overall sign. I think in general, a lot of people in the trade feel that India still needs palm oil and still needs Malaysia palm oil because basically, you know, they obviously are very cautious about trying to just squeeze into Indonesia palm oil and bidding that up. Having said that, I think after the first round of issues in October, you know, Reuters also reported that Malaysia basically had to discount their palm oil going to India. I mean, normally what happens is that Indonesia palm oil is at a, you know, at 5, 15, 20 US dollar discount to Malaysia palm oil. So what happened was that to get going after the last road bump, Malaysia apparently sold at a 5 US dollar discount. So you're talking about a relative swing of 15, 20 US dollars, as it were. But in the wider context, you know, palm oil had gone up from mid-2019 of US dollar 450 to 750. So that's a 300 US dollar rise. So in that sense, if Malaysia palm oil has to discount 20 US dollars relative to Indonesia, it's still within the context of such a sharp rise. So palm oil producers maybe take it in their stride and don't really notice the India issue. So I think it's a question of seeing, you know, whether this price spike, you know, has to adjust and moderate for these kind of expectations. Is it just a question of traders, you know, banting on tariff and non-tariff issues to try to get a better price? Is it just a negotiation? Of course, in India's case, it's not just that. I mean, they do move hard on tariff issues because Malaysia had an advantage against Indonesia on the tariff because of the trade deal. Actually, what happened in India was that they put in a safeguard duty against Malaysia in September. And, you know, almost immediately you could see Malaysia trade dropping because it was running at a very high level of, you know, 500, almost 600,000 tons a month. And of course, we're going into a lower production time. So, you know, they did put the safeguard during that time. So I guess we'll see what kind of, if they can't make any more tariff adjustments like that in terms of safeguard duties to try to prevent Malaysia palm oil from flooding in, then I guess maybe it's not a surprise on the non-tariff. So I guess we'll just have to watch how these tussles happen.
Yu Ling, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Kor Yu Ling, independent political economist at Sergi Anam Advisors, weighing in on a brewing situation between us and India regarding our palm oil and them saying, yeah, not going to buy it anymore. So if you have thoughts, you can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.